It's time now for a look at sports, brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at this hour by Zion Sporting Goods, corner of 600 East and Tabernacle Streets in St. George. Zion Sporting Goods is a complete sporting goods and gunsmith headquarters.
Good afternoon. I'm your host, Larry Jewell. Every year about this time, the Las Vegas Bicycle Riding Club sponsors the Mount Charleston Hill Climb, a tough, tough bicycle race. And every year, the Color Country Wheelmen, the local bicycle club, send some representatives. But this year, they have a different representative going with the usual guys, and we'll talk about that after this.
We're having an anniversary sale.
It's anniversary time at Zion Sporting Goods, Thursday through Saturday. Gordon Chamberlain and the staff at Zion Sporting Goods extends their thanks to all who have made their first year possible at 600 East and Tabernacle Streets. And they say old-fashioned Dixie days may be over, but at Zion Sporting Goods, old-fashioned values are always the order of the day. So for camping equipment, fishing needs, hunting supplies, including shotguns and rifles, tennis supplies, baseball equipment, basketball, and football, too, it's Zion Sporting Goods, where right now their store-wide anniversary specials include a regular $289.95 Parker Hale Enfield Musketoon for just $239.95. A Savage 311 double barrel shotgun was $144.95, now just $129.95. A complete selection of rifle and shotgun cases, 20% off. Redfield scopes, 3x9 wide field, regular $139.95, now $119.95. And many, many more store-wide value used too numerous to mention. Yes, it's their birthday at Zion Sporting Goods, but you get the present. Bart Anderson from the Color Country Wheelman, Ed Pittman, Tim Holder, some usual participants from the local group. Lindsay Merrill, a young bicycle rider, may be going down, and he has some good credentials. And there's going to be someone different, a female. For the first time, Penny Wilkie from the Color Country Wheelman will be going down to participate. Bart Anderson, how tough is this Mount Charleston Hill climb?
Elevation of about 2,000 feet up to about 8,000 feet. So it's a climb of 6,000 feet, and it takes, and they do that within 18 miles.
Now, Penny Wilkie will be participating in her first competitive race, and it isn't going to be easy because she's going to go against some of the top female riders in the country. Yes, some of the tour riders of the best all-around rider point-gathering groups. The tour riders will be participating in this Mount Charleston climb, and Penny will be going head-on-head with them. Is it going to be tough, Penny?
These are really good riders. We had a BAR race here in the Tour of Dixie, and some of these girls are really top-notch riders.
Now, Penny Wilkie's very modest about her chances. Bart Anderson isn't.
I think Penny probably has a better chance of winning than any of the females that I've ever ridden with or seen in the area.
Now, the entire club, the Color Country Wheelmen, are behind Penny in this, and she's ready and willing and ready to try. Training has been tough, right?
Well, we've got are probably three things. One's a time trial, another is distance riding, where you ride 50 to 100 miles, and the other thing is hill climbing.
Is there one particular aspect of bicycle riding that's going to be tough to work on?
I think endurance is the main thing you want to build up, because you're out climbing a hill for 2 to 4 hours, however long it takes you to get to the top.
And Penny, you have to use a different sort of diet getting ready for this sort of race, don't you?
The Olympic people eat a high-protein diet the first part of the week before the race, and then the last part of the week, it's a high-calorie, high-carbohydrate diet. Really load up, like they'll eat spaghetti for breakfast.
Now, Penny Wilkie has been saying that she's not going to participate in this anymore. This is just a one-shot thing. But it's taken her about a year to get up enough courage, enough confidence, I should say, instead of courage, to go head-on-head against some of these BAR riders. And as Bart Anderson says, she could do it. What about it, Penny?
It's taken me a year, I think, to have enough experience riding, to really have enough confidence, to have a new bicycle, for one thing, and really feel like I can do something.
Now, Penny, I want you to be honest with me. If you do well, like Bart and the rest of the Color Country Wheelmen think you will you try some more competitive racing?
I don't think so. Well, we'll see. You talk to me later.
Penny Wilkie, the first female representative from the Color Country Wheelmen to participate in the Mount Charleston Hill Climb coming up August 21st and 22nd. Should be interesting. We'll see you again Thursday.
And that's A Look at Sports, as brought to you by Zion Sporting Goods, 600 East in Tabernacle Streets in St. George. Zion Sporting Goods is a complete sporting goods center and is a qualified gunsmithing shop. Take your gun problems and repairs, including bluing, to Gordon Chamberlain, the only certified gunsmith in the area. It's time now for A Look at Sports, brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at this hour by Zion Sporting Goods, corner of 600 East and Tabernacle Streets in St. George. Zion Sporting Goods is a complete sporting goods and gunsmith headquarters.
Good afternoon. I'm your host, Larry Jewell. One of the rarities in basketball at any level, but specifically at the college level, is the ball player who is so consistent that he plays in every one of his team's games and scores in double figures, at least, in each one of those games, 10 or more points. Now, that shows consistency, the consistency of output and also consistency of being there for each of those games. Now, it's rare. To show you how rare it is, there's only two ball players left out of the four major schools in the state of Utah that still have a string going, and we're not even halfway through the season. Stan Mayhew of Weber State College and Jeff Judkins of the University of Utah are the only two ball players among the four major schools in the state who still have played in each of their team's ball games and scored at least in double figures in each of those games. It's quite an accomplishment for a ball player, and one that doesn't get much publicity. The real rarity is the man who has scored at least 20 points in each of the ball games for his team during a season after having played in each of those games. That's only been done once in the history of major college basketball in the state of Utah, and that was Billy the Hill McGill in his All-American season, 1961-62 season with the University of Utah. A super rarity. You hardly ever see that one take place. Only a handful of ball players have ever accomplished that. We'll be back with more sports after this.
Hunting's over, and it's time to sit back and relax and think about next year. Not that you should go collect all your camping gear together, but since the gun season is over, you would be wise to take your rifle, shotgun, or handgun into Zion Sporting Goods and have it reconditioned, so that while you're sitting back and thinking about next year's hunt, your gun can be having the going over, getting it primed and ready. So you see, you're saved the time of having to wait for your gun during hunting season, and, well, it makes sense. And above all, you can have peace of mind in knowing that Gordon Chamberlain of Zion Sporting Goods can competently take care of all your gun needs or repairs. Of course, if you're in the need of a new one, Zion Sporting Goods has the stock selection that is sure to fit your needs. Scopes, yes, they have some of the finest. And if you're getting ready for camping, see them too. Zion Sporting Goods, corner of 600 East and Tabernacle in St. George.
The coach of Olympic champion Dorothy Hamill has filed a suit in Denver, Colorado, saying the figure skating queen and her parents owe him nearly $100,000. Carlo Fazzi says he gave Hamill more than 1,000 lessons between May of 1971 and March of 1974. He said that comes out to about $12,000 in fees and expenses. He also claims that he helped negotiate Hamill's professional contract with the Ice Capades, for which he was due a 15% fee. That amounts to more than $80,000. So, $100,000 in suit coming from Carlo Fazzi. Whether he wins or not remains to be seen, but that sure gives an indication of how much money we're talking about when we talk about Dorothy Hamill's contract with the Ice Capades. It's amazing what you can do just for skating on some ice and dedicating almost 20 hours a day to thinking or practicing skating in your early years. That's all the effort it takes for Dorothy Hamill, just most of her life. We mentioned yesterday that Eddie Mickelson was the second-round draft choice for the New York Yankees in the free agent draft, the winter free agent draft that took place this week. Mickelson, many people remember as a star shortstop with North Sevier High School. He's from Salina, Utah, and he's a freshman at Snow College this year. Mickelson was one of the stars in last spring's Utah High School All-Star Baseball game held here in St. George. Many of the people who had a chance to go out and watch the game will remember the name Eddie Mickelson. Two other Utahns were drafted. Scott Jobe, a right-handed pitcher from Kearns High School, who was a graduate last spring of high school, was picked in the eighth round. And in the tenth round, Scott Labrum,
High school all-state basketball player who was also a right-handed pitcher for Highland High School. Labrum currently is playing basketball for a junior college in California. The number one draft choice by Montreal, Calvin Adams, has ties to the tri-state area. Although Adams is from Corpus Christi, Texas, he's played his junior college baseball at Central Arizona Community College and has done quite well. Many of the Montreal Expos scouts who saw Adams feel like he's a power hitter of the future, and he has great talent. Adams, the number one draft choice, has not signed yet, but he's expected to sign. He's a third baseman catcher, an unusual combination. That's a look at sports. We'll see you again tomorrow.
And that's a look at sports, as brought to you by Zion Sporting Goods, 600 East and Tabernacle Streets in St. George. Zion Sporting Goods is a complete sporting goods center and is a qualified gunsmithing shop. Take your gun problems and repairs, including bluing, to Gordon Chamberlain, the only certified gunsmith in the area.
It's time for a look at sports, brought to you each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this time by Jones Paint and Glass, your Pittsburgh paint store, corner of 600 East and Tabernacle in St. George.
Good afternoon. I'm your host, Larry Jewell. Arizona State has won its fourth consecutive Western Athletic Conference baseball crown. Yesterday, the Sun Devils defeated BYU 6-4 to end the best-of-three series in two games, taking two straight from the Cougars. Arizona State's Bob Horner doubled in two runs in the first inning. Vance Law, Kim Nelson, Cam Killebrew had some good hitting days yesterday, but it wasn't enough as the relief pitching of Arizona State kept the Cougars at bay. Oh, we mentioned yesterday about the Northern Division All-Western Athletic Conference team. The new WAC champs, Arizona State, play seven players on the Southern Division All-Conference team. Shortstop Hubie Brooks, who hit .533 in conference games, led the contingent. Also on the squad was second baseman Bob Horner, a great pro potential. Pitcher Ken Jones, first baseman Mike Anastich, outfielder Steve Michael, and designated hitter Jamie Allen, along with a catcher by the name of Chris Bando. Indeed, the name should sound familiar. It's Sal's kid brother. Oh, we mentioned that the 1978 Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference Scholar Athletes Awards included one to Robert Klee of Southern Utah State yesterday, football player for SUSC. Also, Jackie Robertson of Westminster College received one of those awards. We'll talk about the Preakness, more problems with the NCAA, and a few more sports stories after this.
The excitement of the grand opening has died down at Jones Paint and Glass, your Pittsburgh paint store in St. George. But the quality Pittsburgh paints are there for you to choose from in just the color to fit your decor. Latex, flats, enamels, or stains. And now hear this. As a follow-up special to Jones Paint and Glass grand opening a short time ago, all Pittsburgh paints are priced at 20% off. That's right. You save 20% on your choice of Pittsburgh paints. Now at Jones Paint and Glass, corner of 600 East and Tabernacle Streets.
As much as it's a sport of kings, it has to be a sport of beauty also. That's horse racing. Also has to be a sport for the better. But if you do not bet, you can sit back and relax and enjoy some beautiful animals doing their thing, if you will. Tomorrow will be the second leg of the Triple Crown, the Pimlico. At Pimlico in Baltimore, Maryland, the Preakness Stakes. Affirmed and Aladar both are entered, and they look to be the favorites. But don't count out Believe It, who finished third in the Kentucky Derby. Oh, the others? It's a small field, only seven horses. Noontime Spender, Track Reward, Dax S, and Indigo Star. But it should be Affirmed and Aladar with an outside chance of Believe It, maybe upsetting the whole field. Salt Lake County will get only one-tenth of the $180,000 it sought in the breach of contract suit against Denver businessman Bill Daniels and his bankrupt firm, the Mountain State Sports, the former owners of the Utah Stars. Judge Sherman Christensen has said that Daniels was not bound by the 1975 contract and will not have to pay for the losses that the Salt Palace suffered following the folding of the Utah Stars. But Sherman Christensen did order Daniels, New Hampshire insurance company to pay $18,000 because it failed to give the required 30-day notice to the arena when it canceled its performance bond. Utah State Class 3A baseball tournament got underway yesterday. Box Elder shut out American Fork 2-0. Timp View 4, Murray 2, Springville 5, Woods Cross 3, and Cypress over Ogden 8-2. By the way, Bountiful, the team that won the Dixie Invitational tournament at the beginning of the season, defeated Skyline yesterday, moving on in the championship bracket. A couple of final notes after this.
Jones Paint and Glass has it. Hundreds of Pittsburgh colors to choose from. The finest quality paint you can buy, and at a 20% discount. Jones Paint and Glass has brushes, rollers, drop cloths, all your cleaning needs, and they have the largest selection of wallpaper and Waltex in town. One-day service on most selections. See Jones Paint and Glass at 596 East Tabernacle. See what they have to offer. Call them at 673-9644.
A Memphis newspaper report says that Memphis State University is under investigation by the NCAA for car loans made to football and basketball players. Weber State College basketball coach Neil McCarthy has dismissed his two assistants, Steve Sparks and Pete Berry. Their contracts will not be renewed. Long-distance jogger Bill Emerton is running to honor his childhood heroes, the Pony Express riders. Today, he arrived in eastern Wyoming at the border town of Torrington, near Scottsbluff, Nebraska. On his way to San Francisco, Emerton started May 2nd in St. Joseph's, Missouri, and has averaged 30 to 40 miles a day jogging. He plans to run to Casper, Wyoming, then it'll be back on to Rock Springs, then in through Utah, Nevada, and to the West Coast, finally ending up in Sacramento, then on to San Francisco. That's interesting. That's a look at sports. We'll see you Monday.
And that's a look at sports, as brought to you by Jones Paint and Glass, your Pittsburgh paint headquarters on the corner of 600 East and Tabernacle. Remember, when you hear a crash, think of Jones Paint and Glass.
Time now for a look at sports. Good afternoon. I'm your host, Larry Jewell. The National Football League holds its annual college player draft tomorrow and Wednesday. And, of course, everyone's aware by now that the Houston Oilers have traded for the number one pick in the draft, getting that number one pick from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Houston has already come to agreement with the man that's expected to be the number one pick in the player draft, Earl Campbell of Texas. In fact, the fact that they've come to an agreement with him already virtually cinches that he'll be the first selection. Today, Houston went out and did some more dealing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They picked up former USC All-American Anthony Davis. In return, Coach Bum Phillips of the Houston Oilers sent Don Hardeman to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hardeman came from Texas A&I and has been somewhat of a disappointment for the Houston football team. Tony Davis, on the other hand, Anthony, came down from the Canadian Football League and, with injuries, did not play as much as it had been hoped for last year. Just in case you're wondering, there will be 12 rounds in the NFL draft. 335 players are scheduled to be selected. The team with the most choices, Cincinnati. Cincinnati has 18 choices, including two on the first round. People in this area are especially anxious to find out when and how high and to whom Gifford Nielsen will be drafted. Gifford Nielsen, with a questionable knee, may not be the prime quarterback prospect in the draft. On the other hand, if his knee is in good shape, he may be far and away the prime quarterback prospect. We'll take a look at a former Dixie College star and struggle through the NBA playoffs after this.
If you're looking for freedom, if you're looking for a new you, if you're looking for a goal to reach each and every day, if you're looking to the future, if you're looking for the sunshine, if you're looking at the world around, you'll know you've found the way. In 4-H, there's freedom to be what you're looking for, what you want to see.
Looking around for what you want to do, for what you want to be, takes freedom. And people who understand what it's like to be searching for what you want. In 4-H, you'll find that freedom, and the people, and the projects. In 4-H, you'll find the freedom to be, and that's a lot. To find out more about 4-H, contact your local extension office.
In 4-H, there's freedom to be what you're looking for.
The NBA playoffs are well underway. Everyone's aware of that. In the Eastern Conference, it's now down to the Eastern Conference Championship, Philadelphia versus Washington. And yesterday, Washington, in overtime, upset Philadelphia at Philadelphia. In the Western Conference, it's still wide open. Milwaukee dumped Denver handily. That's two straight for Milwaukee and evens the series at 3-3, with the final game to be played at Denver on May 3rd. Portland and Seattle has been a strange series. Seattle red hot coming into the playoffs. Portland, the defending champions, but missing such ball players as Bob Gross, Maurice Lucas injured midway through the season, still trying to come back from the injury, Lloyd Neal injured, Dave Hordzik injured, Larry Steele injured, and Bill Walton out for the rest of the playoffs. And Walton is the key to Portland. Well, Portland has been able to come back. Even though they were down 3-1 in games, they came back yesterday with an overwhelming 113-89 victory over the Seattle Supersonics. Seattle now has a chance to wrap up the series at home tonight against Portland, and if Portland can come up with a win, then they'll send it back to Seattle for a May 3rd meeting. Lionel Hollins, the third-year pro from Dixie College, now playing with the Portland Trail Blazers, has been the brunt of the offense since Bill Walton's injury. Beginning with the third game of the playoffs, he's taken on more of an offensive show, shooting-wise, and Hollins was asked about it.
I just made up my mind to go out and look for my shot. In the first two games, I was content with letting the offense go through and just setting up and trying to play good defense. And I just felt like we needed things to happen, you know, whatever it might be. And I felt if I looked for my shot more, it would create things for the other players. And it did. It opened up our game a little bit.
Portland might be recovering a little bit, losing by 4 points in the third game, by 2 points in the fourth game, and an overwhelming victory last time. Lionel, how much of a chance does Portland still have?
It's tough, but it's been done before, and it's not impossible, you know. And they got to come out and beat us, you know. And when they do that, we'll be dead. And if they don't, you know, we'll be moving on.
Well, they may be dead after tonight's game, or they might be having another chance on May 3rd. And if they can win the last two, they'll be moving on against the winner of the Denver-Milwaukee series. By the way, an interesting note, Bill Burrell of Edmonton, Alberta, has agreed to a $4,000 challenge to break the world distance record for hang gliding by sailing the 625 miles from Edmonton to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Scheduled for June 10th, the prize is being offered by an Edmonton businessman. Burrell is hoping to initiate a hang glider competition between the United States and Canada, and he's welcome to it. That's a look at sports. We'll see you again tomorrow.
It's time now for A Look at Sports, brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at this hour by Zion Sporting Goods, corner of 600 East and Tabernacle Streets in St. George. Zion Sporting Goods is a complete sporting goods and gunsmith headquarters.
Good afternoon. I'm your host, Larry Jewell. Tito Steiner, a Brigham Young University freshman from Argentina, won the NCAA decathlon title last night in Champaign, Illinois. Houston's Richard Lacombe had the lead at the end of first day's activities, but Steiner came from behind to come away with the championship. By the way, Steiner was on the Argentine Olympic team last year and finished fourth in the Olympics in decathlon competition. A couple of new high school baseball champions in the state of Utah today. Yesterday, Davis High School won the Class 3A and Cottonwood High School won the Class 4A. Bob Payne went the distance for Davis in the first game against the Spanish Fork to come up with a 3-2 victory. In the second game, it was a slugfest, and Davis came up with an 8-7 victory. The reason why they had to play two, Spanish Fork was undefeated in tournament play going into yesterday's activity. Davis needed to win both in order to win the championship, and win them they did, upsetting Spanish Fork. Cottonwood High School finished second the past 2 years in the Class 4A competition, and they were undefeated going into yesterday's activities at Dirks Field. South High upset Roy 4-0 behind the three-hit pitching of Dave Tidwell to earn the berth against Cottonwood High. Tidwell just stayed on the mound and kept Cottonwood High shut out until the bottom of the fifth inning before the Colts finally exploded and came up with the victory 5-3 yesterday
over South High School for the Class 4A championship. Since fishing season is already underway in the state of Utah, and since you've probably had a chance to go out and find where the big ones are supposed to be, and you couldn't get them because you didn't have the proper equipment, and now you know exactly what you need, now's the time to go to Zion Sporting Goods, corner of 600 East and Tabernacle. See Gordon Chamberlain at Zion Sporting Goods has a complete line of fishing equipment. Oh, by the way, if you need to go out overnight, he also has a complete line of camping equipment, too. Finest fishing and camping equipment in the area at reasonable prices. Zion Sporting Goods. Check with Gordon Chamberlain today for all of your fishing needs. Oh, by the way, if you're still working on your food storage programs, and you probably should be, Gordon Chamberlain at Zion Sporting Goods is now taking on the Noah's Ark food storage programs. Talk to Gordon down at Zion Sporting Goods about how you can help supplement your year's supply or two-year supply or however much storage that you're working on. The Indiana Pacers have failed to meet the payroll of at least six ball players. The six who failed to receive paychecks yesterday included All-Star forward Billy Knight, center Dan Rounfield, Dave Robish, Len Elmore, forward Mel Bennett, and Darnell Hillman, who was just recently traded to the New York Nets. Hillman still owed some money by the Indiana Pacers during this last pay period. Well, if either or any of those six makes a complaint to the NBA, then NBA rules say payments must be made within 5 days of the player's complaints or the player becomes a free agent. Indiana Pacers in deep financial trouble. College Baseball World Series is going to be taking place beginning a week from Friday in Omaha, Nebraska. And Arizona, the defending champion, will not be there. But Arizona State and Minnesota, who have between them won six college baseball championships, will be there. The first round games on June 10th have Southern Illinois against Temple, Arizona State versus Clemson. Opening day losers meet in the first game Saturday, followed by Cal State Los Angeles versus Minnesota and Baylor versus South Carolina. Jim Bouton, 38 years old, trying to make a comeback as a knuckleball relief pitcher, released by the Knoxville Ball Club and the Southern Association of Chicago White Sox Farm Club. Bouton says, "I'm not going to give up my comeback efforts until nobody wants me." And he's on the telephone today to find out if anybody wants him anyplace in organized baseball. If you'd like to win a contest, Weber State College is looking for a design for the center jump circle in the new D Special Event Center, which will house the Wildcats basketball team this coming year. Entries to the design contest must be submitted in color. The rules say entries must be circular in shape, drawn to scale, no larger than 24 by 24 inches. Each entry also must conform to official basketball rules book regulations for playing surfaces. Deadline for the entries is July 15th. Entries should be sent to Weber State College. Get your crayons and pencils and good luck. That's a look at sports. We'll see you tomorrow.
And that's a look at sports, as brought to you by Zion Sporting Goods, 600 East and Tabernacle Streets in St. George.
Time now for a look at sports. Good afternoon. I'm your host, Larry Jewell. Remember, at the end of today's program, we'll have a trivia question. If you have the correct answer, if you're the first one, you could win a day pass to the Court Club in St. George. A lot of football players who hate Frank Cush and a lot of fans are still applauding wide receiver Holden Smith, who left the club's training camp with a splash, literally, on top of Frank Cush's head, dumped a soft drink in the team dining room right on top of Cush. Explaining the move, Holden Smith, after he was cut by the Baltimore Colts just prior to the incident, called Cush an irrational man, said he did it for his teammates, claimed everybody wants to pour something on him or hit him. Smith also contends that he was not able to practice at full speed because of a pulled hamstring muscle and says he'll file a grievance with the NFL Players Association. A lot of football players with the Baltimore Colts did not boo when that took place. Mark Concar, former University of Colorado star, former Murray High School star, is calling it quits from pro football. After 7 years in the NFL, Concar has been hampered by persistent knee problems. Says it's time to hang it up. One of those interesting matchups that's going to be taking place in the camps is for the quarterback position with the Houston Oilers. Now, Utah fans have a vested interest with former BYU star Gifford Nielsen, who apparently won the number one quarterback's job. Also, there's concern about the Houston Oilers. What about Earl Campbell after an off year? Now, Campbell says the offensive line was not the best last year.
And he also says that he'll be back. Plus, he says he's worked out his differences with Coach Ed Biles.
About 2 or 3 months ago, me and Coach Biles sit down and we had a great talk about one-on-one, you know. Unfortunately, there are some things probably people like about, you know, one another, and there are some things they don't like. And in order to really perform, you got to be able to talk to people. That kind of thing got to iron out, and I think we're rolling now.
That's Earl Campbell of the Oilers. Now, Archie Manning, the quarterback competition for Gifford Nielsen, says he's not looking to be the backup quarterback.
I realize that I'm in a battle to win the quarterback job, but as I prepare and go about my day-to-day activities, I'm at least in my own mind, pretending that I'm going to be the quarterback. I think that's all, you know, if I'm preparing to be the backup quarterback, I don't have anything to do.
That's Archie Manning of the Houston Oilers. Utah Jazz today named Laura Herlovich as the team's public relations director. Herlovich has been an assistant to Dave Fredman. Fredman recently was promoted to vice president and head of the club's Las Vegas operation. Former Notre Dame basketball star John Shumate has been named the head coach at Grand Canyon College in Phoenix. He succeeds J.R. Note, who was moving on, or who is moving on, to Flagstaff to be the head coach at Northern Arizona. A top scientist says tennis star John McEnroe's grunting serves may lose him points. The grunt analysis was done by Dr. Dennis Lindrum and shows that silence is golden for points in McEnroe's case. Silence serves in McEnroe's quarterfinal against Sandy Mayer, his semifinal against Yvonne Lendl, and the final against Chris Lewis were almost twice as successful. Except against Mayer. They were equally as successful as the silent serves, the grunting serves. They were matched up there. McEnroe's gruntless deliveries were far more accurate. Dr. Lindrum, who appropriately works with the Nottingham University's Animal Behavior Research Group, says he set out to assess the grunt serve's effectiveness and discover whether it was a sign of exertion, to give McEnroe a psychological lift, or to unbalance the opponents. ABC or any of the above. It looks like it's any of the above. Southern Utah State College finished the baseball season this year with the 8th best mark in the NAIA across the nation. SUSC had a .339 team batting average. Now, two of the significant contributors were a couple of former Dixie College stars. Howard Davidson, who hit .376, and outfielder Bobby Whatcott, who hit .345 this last year. Chicago Cubs A outfielder Leon Durham has been hospitalized with back spasms. Durham was on the disabled list a little while ago because of that problem. Chicago Cubs will be prevented from playing night baseball at Wrigley Field under an ordinance approved by the City Council Committee. The Committee on Municipal Code Revision voted 7-0 yesterday to approve the ordinance to effectively ban night games at Wrigley Field, the only unlit ballpark in the nation. The ordinance would not affect games at Comiskey Park, because the White Sox Park does not have residential homes that close. The full city council is scheduled to consider the measure sometime today. Seattle Mariners have sent first baseman Jim Mailer back to Salt Lake City for the third time this year. Mailer was sent back when the Mariners signed Ron Renicki, who had been released by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Three times back with Salt Lake this year. If you're a Yankee hater, hang around. I'll be right back.
Hurry! Lincoln Mercury Special Savings end July 31st. 9.9 annual percentage rate financing on links, plus attractive finance rates through Ford Credit on every new Mercury and Lincoln in stock. And if you arrange your own financing, get $500 cash back on Capri and LN7, $400 on links. Dealer contribution may affect customer savings, one per qualified buyer. Get attractive finance rates on every new Mercury and Lincoln. But hurry, you must take delivery from dealer stock by July 31st. See your Lincoln Mercury dealer for details today.
You remember Sunday. Yes, indeed. Home plate umpire Tim McClellan nullified George Brett's two-run homer at Yankee Stadium that would have given the Royals the win because of the controversial extension of the pine tar too far up the bat. Well, Brett has been forced to break in a new bat while his old one rests in the American League President Lee McPhail's office awaiting a ruling on the protest by the Royals. Brett has gone 0-for-6 in two games and hasn't even gotten the ball out of the infield yet. Well, if that makes you fume, if that makes you burn about the Yankees, well, William Meade is on your side. William Meade has just released a book that he's written called The New York Yankee Hater's Handbook. Meade was asked why
He wrote the book.
Well, it'd be fun to stick a pin in that big overblown pinstripe balloon just to poke fun at him and ridicule him. It strikes a lot of people as sort of, my gosh, you know, he actually is saying bad things about Joe DiMaggio, Yogi Berra, Casey Stengel, you know, these alleged gods who have been passed down to us by the mythic New York propaganda machine. So, I just blew a lot of air at the hot air, and it seems to strike a chord.
Now, chapter two of the book deals with a trivia quiz for New York Yankee haters. Example, how did Don Larson's wife celebrate that perfect game he threw against the Dodgers in 1956? How did she celebrate?
He happened to file for divorce that day. That's terrible.
That really is true. Now, what Yankee had the most controversial hits in the 1981 World Series?
That honor goes to none other than the principal owner, as he likes to call himself, Mr. George Steinbrenner, who alleged that he beat up a couple of nasty fans in an elevator. There's some suspicion that he just hit the elevator wall a couple times.
Now, of course, which is the sappiest book ever written about the New York Yankees?
You know, there have been so many sappy books about the Yankees, but my all-time low, I think, was written by a guy named Vincent Bove, who is a monk, and he wrote a book called And on the Eighth Day God Created the Yankees, which was a blathering mass of little chapters by members of the team who alleged that they were playing for God, not money.
Now, I love that. William Meade, the book is tongue-in-cheek. He does admit that.
Oh, of course, it's loads of fun. It's a happy hatred. You know, you go to a ball game and you boo the other guys. It's loads of fun. Sure, I don't mean him any harm, but I sure don't want him to win.
That's William Meade, the author of the New York Yankee Haters Handbook. And by the way, if you don't like the Mets either, their two-game winning streak, the longest of the year, came to an end today. The Braves 6, the Mets 3. A trivia question after this.
Whenever and wherever you travel, look for the Best Western Crown. It's your assurance of convenience, comfort, and value for your lodging dollar. There are more than 1,800 Best Westerns in the U.S. and Canada, so you'll always be able to find the right place at the right price, rest assured. Make reservations at any Best Western, see your travel agent, or call toll-free 1-800-528-1234.
Okay, for the day pass to the Court Club in St. George, all you have to do is call me at 673-3505 with the correct answer. This one should be fairly simple. Don Larson, who threw the perfect game against the Dodgers in 1956, was the pitcher in that game. Who was the Yankee catcher? Call me at 673-3505. Who caught Don Larson's perfect game on that October afternoon in 1956? That's a look at sports. Happy Yankee hating. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Sears National Home Appliance Sale is on through Saturday.
I loved it last year.
Save on dozens of home entertainment products and Kenmore appliances. Save $120 on a Sears stereo, now $179.99. Save $100 on a gas grill.
Should be great this year.
Save $30 on a washer, now just $299.99. $20 on a dryer. Save on a Sears sewing machine, too. Available in most Sears retail stores. Sears National Home Appliance Sale ends Saturday.
Hurry, or you'll have to wait till next year.
Time now for a look at sports. Good afternoon. I'm your host, Larry Jewell. A tale of a couple of coaches to begin this sports show today. Chuck Stobart has decided to remain as the head man at the University of Utah. Stobart has turned thumbs down on any further consideration as the possible next head football coach at the University of Cincinnati, with the statement that he's won a championship every place he's coached and has not won it yet at the University of Utah. That's why he wants to stay. Stobart told athletic director Arnie Farron late yesterday he wanted to stay in Salt Lake City. A lot of junior college football players were looking to transfer to the University of Utah this year, and that may just be the difference to get that sort of talent. The University of Utah staff has been after a number of the Dixie College football stars and has been looking heavily into the ICAC for further talent. Well, it's been successful. Utah last year rode the arm of Mark Stevens to not a bad season, at least at home. Nevada Reno's head coach Chris Ault has been named the Big Sky Conference Football Player Coach of the Year, and the Wolfpack cross-country coach Jack Cook has been named the top man in cross-country. Further coaching notes. New York Jets coach, former New York Jets coach Walt Michaels, looks like the odds-on favorite to be named the new head coach of the New Jersey Generals of the USFL. A formal announcement is expected next Tuesday. Speaking of the United States Football League, Generals owner Donald Trump reportedly has talked with Joe Theismann of the Washington Redskins. The Richmond Times-Dispatch quotes reliable sources that Theismann and Trump talked several times by telephone and met on November 29th in New York. Reaction by Theismann?
You could have picked out any one of four or five times throughout the year that somebody has raised that question or raised that situation, and I still remain in the same posture. I don't really have any comment on it.
That's Joe Theismann. Doug Kotar, the fourth leading rusher in New York Giants football history, died early today at the age of 32 after a 16-month fight against a malignant brain tumor. Sadness in the world of pro football today. Turning to basketball notes, the Dixie High School and Pineview High School squads will return home and a breath of fresh air to return to the home gym for both squads. Tonight, Dixie has Cedar City in an arch rivalry. Pineview is hosting Hurricane. Both of those games will begin, at the broadcast anyway, will begin at 7:15. Pineview and Hurricane on KZEZ, Dixie and Cedar City on KDXU tonight. In collegiate football action, Dixie College is on the sidelines until early next week with two games against junior varsity squads up north, BYU and Utah State. Utah State Tuesday, the BYU JV on Wednesday. Meanwhile, the varsity of BYU is taking on Virginia Commonwealth in the opening round of the Kentucky Invitational at Lexington, Kentucky. Wyoming and Kentucky are doing battle in the other game. Utah State University is taking on the University of Indiana. Oh, what a challenge to open the Indiana Classic at Bloomington. Utah is traveling this weekend to meet Oregon State at Corvallis. Weber State is at Gonzaga. Southern Utah State is at home against Western New Mexico. Ed Porter hit 11 of 15 shots from the floor to score 23 points and lead Nevada Reno to a 94-82 victory over Southern Oregon last night. Denny Crum, the head coach at the University of Louisville, less likely to go back to Los Angeles now. University of Louisville has given Crum a new 10-year contract through the 1982-83 season. 1992-93 season, excuse me, a full 10 years. Adrian Dantley had 32 points last night, and the Jazz are proving that they are for real. Eight victories in their last nine games. Last night, 138-111 over Ralph Sampson and company of the Houston Rockets. The Youth Basketball League is scheduled to begin in St. George on January 9th, the week of January 9th. This is open to boys 3rd through the 6th grade. Registration deadline is today, and so you have a little bit of time to contact the Parks and Recreation Department to find out more information about that Youth Basketball League. The Steinbrenner-Martin feud has taken a new twist. Well, an old twist, just in a different way. Greg Schmaltz has a report from New York.
Billy Martin has been fired for the third time as manager of the New York Yankees, and Lawrence Yogi Berra has been named his successor. Principal owner George Steinbrenner made the announcement this afternoon at Yankee Stadium. Berra, who has been affiliated with the club for 30 years, has been given a two-year contract. However, terms have not been disclosed. Martin will remain with the club, however, as a top advisor to Steinbrenner and will assist in all player trades and player evaluations. Gene Michaels, player, coach, manager, and front office executive, has been named the third base coach. Greg Schmaltz, ABC Radio Sports, New York.
Now, in the press conference held today to announce that change, George Steinbrenner says the relationship with Billy Martin is still good. Oh, yeah?
Our relationship has never been better, and I've never heard him sound happier than I heard him today and yesterday. His job will be working very closely with me. He will be evaluating the spring training in the West this year for any trades we may make. No trades will be made unless he's consulted. We will always look to him for, as we do to Clyde King and to Bob Lemon, and did to Stick before he went to third base here as the coach, look to them for their advice.
That's George Steinbrenner. Detroit Tigers reportedly have reached an agreement in principle with veteran infielder and free agent Darrell Evans. Evans, who was tailor-made with that left-handed power for Tiger Stadium, is believed to be about to sign a three-year deal worth $750,000 a year. Evans can do a lot of things. Play first, third, the outfield, can go to shortstop or second base if needed, plus could be the designated hitter. Outstanding pickup for Detroit if they can get Darrell Evans. That suspension yesterday by Bowie Kuhn of four players for their involvement with cocaine is getting some reaction. Willie Wilson, Willie Akins, Jerry Martin of the Kansas City Royals, and Steve Howe of the Los Angeles Dodgers have been put on one-year suspension. They will not play next year. Although Wilson, Akins, and Martin's cases will be reviewed sometime in mid-May, that might lessen that suspension. Steve Howe's case will have to wait till the end of the year. Willie Wilson had his reaction to that decision by Kuhn.
Baseball is my job, and what I did in my life was something different, and I don't see why the two should come inside together.
What happened to Willie Wilson? What got him into drugs?
When I did it, it was not for doing it every day. It was not for, it was for fun. It was for going to parties. And at the time, it was only a few parties. And at the time that I figured all of this was going to come down in baseball, I stopped long before I made that telephone call for a friend. I didn't figure I was going to get caught, let's put it that way, because I wasn't doing anything, but they had other reasons to make me be caught.
Other reactions. Speaking for the Major League Baseball Players Association, counsel Donald Fair says the verdict was extremely disappointing and unexpected, and he promised a more formal statement today. Howe's agent contends since his client was not convicted of drug charges and his involvement is the result of an emotional illness, he should not be punished. Kansas City Royals officials say they plan no further discipline, but the decision out of the way. General Manager John Schuerholz says now we can look forward to the 1984 season with clarity and plan accordingly. And Peter O'Malley, the Dodgers president, said yesterday he agrees with the decision to suspend Steve Howe, but expects the relief ace to be back in 1985. O'Malley echoed Kuhn's stance by saying, baseball and illegal drugs are incompatible, and we will not tolerate the use of these drugs by any of our employees, end quote. Pat LaFontaine is one of the hotshot young hockey players involved with Team USA. Last night, they tied the select team from the Soviet Union. And LaFontaine says this is an important series, four-game series between the two teams.
These games are so emotional. It's a feeling when you're out there you can't describe. It's you look back to Lake Placid when they won, and we went back there and beat them, and just these are highlight games. These are big test games for us because this is the kind of emotion intensity that we have to play in the Olympics, so these are good test games for us.
Pat LaFontaine of the Team USA. That's a look at sports. We'll see you again next week.
The college head football coach, Lee Bunnell, and coach,
it has to be disappointing coming off a loss to Snow.
Seems like a long time ago. We've been working hard all week. I'm sure the guys haven't forgot the loss. They're probably going out tonight with a vengeance, trying not to let that happen again. But it does seem like a long time ago last week, and you tend to forget a little bit about it. But we're pointing straight at Glendale, and that's our central thought at this moment.
I hate to look back a week, but I'm sure you've been asked this a lot of times. What happened?
Well, we played three fine quarters, and the fourth quarter they got to us. As we reviewed the films and analyzed what happened, and we've looked at those films a dozen times, and trying to correct mistakes and showing real players things they did wrong. And it was just a simple matter of getting outplayed that fourth quarter. We got beat in the secondary for a long touchdown. They one drive, they just run it all the way down on us and scored, and just a series of plays. It wasn't any one particular area's fault. It wasn't any one particular player's fault. A couple of crucial times in the ball game, we were clear down on the 12-yard line, were penalized, brought it back to the 40. Another time, they had another drive taken away with a 15-yard penalty, and those things hurt us. We had about 93 yards in penalties. We've got to avoid that if we're going to win. That just hurts a drive bad. And that, with the great playing of their quarterback, Croton, I think was the thing that turned it for us last week.
You've had a chance to see both the other opponents in the Intermountain Collegiate Athletic Conference. Is it balanced, like a lot of the observers say?
Yes, I think it is. There is. Snow's got to play Ricks at Snow. Just the week before, we repeat against Snow, and I can't see Snow walking away with it easy. That Ricks is very capable of beating them on Snow's field. And then Snow's got to come down here again, and one touchdown difference up there, and then being on our home field, we still got to be ready to toss up when they come down, because they're going to have to come to play if they're going to win when they play down here.
Let's talk this week now. Tonight you play Glendale Community College. What do you know about Glendale?
Well, they're coming here without a win. They're 0-5 right now, and they've lost to some real fine football teams. They lost to Pasadena, to that's in California, to Palomar out of San Diego, both real powerful teams in the California leagues. Arizona Western has beat them, and so has Mesa, and so has Phoenix. And, Eastern Arizona. Now, Eastern Arizona is the only common opponent. We beat Eastern Arizona down there, and then Glendale lost to Eastern Arizona. And going by that one common opponent, it's hard to say. It's not because teams are up and down just like we are. But we'd like to feel that we have the capability of beating them. I'm confident we do if we just don't make mistakes. I watched a high school game last night and go home and lay in bed terrified that a thing like that could happen to anybody, where you just turn the ball over and over, and I'm sure that that's what happened to them, and it can happen to any team, and I hope that we don't do that tonight.
Is there a danger in playing? Now, Glendale is not a bad team, even though they're without a win. Is there a danger in playing a relatively good team when they're hungry for a victory?
Yes. I've made a statement, they're kind of like a cornered animal. They'll do anything to try to win. They may have some trick plays that they're going to try to do. They have nothing to lose, so they can just gamble. I worry about fights. I worry about unusual things happening on the field that aren't common in a normal football game. However, they are a good coach team, and I think Carl Rollins disciplines these kids well, and I hope that there's no problems out there. But I worry the fact that they could do some unusual things to hurt us, and we don't want that to happen. We just want to play a good football game. We want to win, and we want to get back on the winning track, which we need to do after last week.
Let's talk about some of your kids again. Larry Heater has the string still alive of consecutive games of 100 yards or more rushing.
Yes, and he's pretty fired up this week. He's going into this game rather determined. He had a difficult time in practice a couple of times this week because he couldn't understand getting corrected on a few of the things that he was doing wrong. And after looking at the film and pointing out to him that there are areas that he can improve, he's a good enough athlete to admit this, and he's been working hard, and he's going into this game with a determination to try to do things a little better than he did a week ago, and I think that'll help.
Are there any official records for Dixie College football as far as rushing statistics in 1 year?
Not to my knowledge, there isn't.
If there was, Larry must have a shot at some sort of school record.
I can remember back many years, and Dixie College has never had a running back that has been really outstanding like this. They've had two or three All-Americans, but it's never been a running back. And we'll keep his stats and hope he breaks them the next year. Try to maintain a few records in passing. We've still got Lynn Lewis's passing stats that we are holding as records and so forth. I think this has been a problem, as we haven't had a program where they have kept records, and we're going to try to do this.
Coach, what about the rest of the offense? Any changes that you expect this week?
No, we have a few changes in our specialty teams, but offensively we'll be going basically the same way we have done. We may look at Rich Thorne a little more closely at quarterback. His leg is better now, and he's starting to perform well in practice, and our game plan tonight calls for him to go in there and have an opportunity to play, and we're hoping that he does well.
This, I assume, is not a knock at Tim Collin, the way he's been playing it.
No. Rich is a sophomore quarterback. He has more experience than Tim, but he's been injured. And we feel he's now 100%. Of course, Tim's been coming on real well and doing well, and it's tough to nose him out. We're just going to hope we get a decent opportunity to give Rich a chance to show his improvement over last year and how he's come, and we think that he's earned that opportunity.
Any changes in the defensive starting lineup?
Yes, I'm changed quite a bit in the secondary. The only starter in the secondary that started last week will be Larry Tucker. Curly Green and Tim Kohler will be at the corners, and Rick Stonehawk will be the other safety. And this is a not necessarily anything but discipline. I had a problem with a missed practice with three of the other starters. in the secondary because of a homecoming in Las Vegas they wanted to attend. And so they'll be standing on the sideline with me.
Now, the defensive secondary, you're blessed in one way. You do have a lot of depth there.
Well, we'll find out tonight if there's depth there. These guys have been working hard. Tim Kohler and Rick Stonehocker have been playing quite a bit anyway. It does concern me because I don't have the speed back there that I would have with the other three, but the other three will get in a ball game. I'm just not starting them, but this gives the other guys a real good chance to perform well and maybe earn a job.
Coach, what do you expect out of Glendale? Is there anything that they like to do, particularly on offense or defense, that's the fans could look forward to tonight?
Well, they run a 5-2 defense the last two ball games, and we prepared for that. They had run a 4-3 last year, and we made sure that we were ready just in case they do that. We do expect them to throw quite a bit. Their rushing yardage hasn't been very much in any ball game they've played. Most of the yardage has come on the pass. So you see now the substitution there starts to take on a little more importance. And I think that we can expect our quarterback to put it in the air. He's left-handed, and he likes to roll and throw, and we'll find out if our defense can put enough pressure on him in order to cause a few turnovers so we can get some interceptions.
It's intriguing. Left-handed quarterback. It used to be Frankie Albert was virtually the only one. Now that you've had the Hammond boy played in Florida schools, you have Ken Stabler, who's made his name for himself in Oakland. Bobby Douglas did quite well with Chicago and is still kicking around the NFL. Is it that tough to judge a left-handed quarterback?
Well, I don't think there's any real difference. The only thing that's noticeable is if I'm a right-handed coach, and if I had a tendency, I'd probably run to the right. And I think that a person that's left-handed goes to the left. It's just a pattern of thinking as well. But it just is something you need to know about for when you're rushing your quarterback. If he's going to scramble, he's going to try to go to his left because it's easier to throw that way. And we're trying to prepare that way so that if he does scramble, we can do that. That he's not real fast. He's not a great passer. He doesn't have the great percentage on his receptions, but he has one fine receiver that we expect to play split end to give us some problems. And we're just going to have to protect real well in those type of situations to stop that.
Coach Lee Bennett, thank you for being with us, and good luck tonight.
Thanks very much.
Yes? Oh, dear. I wish you would have called and made an appointment. My husband isn't really interested in the church anymore, and he gets angry when I spend much time with church work. It's our new home teachers, dear. Oh, nothing, dear. Brother Busy was just saying that some football games are more important than others. Would you like to come in and sit down? I would love to sit and chat with you, and John can just go back in the family room and finish watching that game. I would like very much to talk with you if you would just give me a call. Maybe we could work out a time when John would be more friendly. Good evening. You're right on time, so you must be our new home teachers. Nice to meet you both in person. Please come in. This is my husband, John. Yes, you were looking at him. Actually, John does all our yard work. He's a scientist, and he is working on some exotic vegetable experiments. And so he does a lot of it right here on our own property. Maybe you could drop by his house and take a look at it sometime. It would be a shame to lose an old tree like that. Does he go? He wouldn't miss a game for anything. John was a football star for Dixie as a young man. I used to teach primary and Sunday school years ago when our children were small and I went to church to take them. Oh, I'd love to get better acquainted. Good night, and thank you for coming. I've really missed contact with the church.